In lieu of our daily Bible reading today for Tuesday, April 9th, we've got our sermon from this past Sunday, looking at Isaiah chapter 43 and talking about forgetting the former things and pressing on toward what is ahead. Check out the show notes for a link to Christian Family Solutions, especially the MAP program, which was mentioned in the sermon. Grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless. Again, the audio starts out a little bit rough because I forgot to turn my microphone on. I guess traveling around to preach at different churches kind of leaves me a little bit confused as to how to turn on and off like a power switch. Anyway, here we go.
Could you imagine, for just a moment, in your mind's eye, a room full of people not too dissimilar from this one? A room full of people who have each their own story, their own background, their own hopes that weren't, and dreams that were dashed. And somebody steps down, like from this very pulpit, and starts walking around the room with a roll of red electrical tape. Obviously, if you're here last week, you would remember that I don't know how to use that stuff anyway. But I got this roll of red electrical tape, and he starts tearing off pieces, 2, 3, maybe 4 inches long, and handing them out, weaving among the rows, passing them down, handing them out to each other. And then he says, when he finally has most of the room, you know, holding a piece of tape, "I want you to think back. Think back over your childhood. Think back over your high school years. Think back into your college years or your early marriage or even your present golden years. Now think of an injury that you've had." And everybody stops for a moment, thinks. And he says, "Okay, now I want you to take that piece of tape and put it where that injury was." So Pastor Hagin's like, "Yeah, broke my wrist in 6th grade. Tear that piece of tape up a little bit more. Got a scar on my chin from football. First football game ever, and I forgot to play to the very last whistle. Let's see, I got a broken toe down there somewhere that's not broken anymore." And pretty soon everybody else starts catching on, and pretty soon everybody else starts doing the same with the tape that they've got. And the room soon becomes a mess of red, of this color. The room becomes covered in all these scrapes and bumps and bruises and broken bones and everything, right? And then one person has one piece of tape left. And it had been the quietest person in the room, and they didn't really talk a whole lot, and nobody knew him or her very well. And the guy who's talking looks around and he says, "Have we used all of our tape?" And this person in the back row holds up one piece left, right? And then she puts it right here, right over her heart. Because up to that point, she hadn't had broken bones, she hadn't had really, scars from chicken pox, she hadn't had an amputation or stitches or anything like that. And from the outside, it looked like she didn't have any problems. But on the inside, she was demonstrating that the pain that we feel and the scars that we carry aren't always visible, at least in the same way. And the injuries that we have aren't always visible, at least in the same way, such as wearing a cast for 12 weeks, or walking with a walking boot, or walking with a limp. That the injuries we carry and the scars we carry are often hidden a little bit more deeply. And the question that Isaiah considers for us today, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that when you've got that pain and you've got that problem and it's not something you really want to talk about with anybody else, but it's something that you set it down, hopefully you're able to set it down at night when you fall asleep, But then the next morning, that pain is there just like the dog, waiting for you to wake up and following along everywhere. Everywhere. In a room full of red, the least injured among us are those who only have scars on our hands and feet and chins. But I would propose that each of us might carry a little bit of red tape on our own hearts. And Isaiah asks, how do you deal with that? God's people, the Israelites, dealt with it by thinking back and thinking to themselves, well, surely God has done great things for us. Surely God still cares about us. Despite what I feel here, I know what he did there. Despite what I feel here, I know that the Lord made a road through the sea and a path through the waters. He enticed the Egyptians to follow along. And then he crushed them underneath the waves. I know that our God is powerful. But what about today? What about my pain? And the answer that they kind of came up with was that God only did those things back there, but that God really doesn't address my needs today right here. And that's the part that's kind of alluded to at the end, verse 22 and following. You did not call on me, Jacob. Instead, you became weary of me. You have not brought me sheep. You did not glorify me. I did not make you serve me, but you didn't even do a whole lot. These people who are broken down by the pain that they carried consoled themselves with the fact, well, we're a Christian nation. We're a believing nation. And look what God did in the past. And even though I don't quite see how it fits in my life today, and I don't see the value of this God for my life today, I know that in some sense, this God is powerful. And I know that at some time, this God has pronounced his blessing over, well, at least my ancestors. And even though this God may seem far removed by a distance of 700 years at the time of this writing, I know that at least, you know, he's God. And he's powerful. And he's God, and I do my best. And he'll be there to pick me up when I'm feeling down. But there's a disconnect. A disconnect between what they knew about God then and their idea about God today. Because, friends, as you know, God doesn't change. The writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He says God does not change. The God who is eternal has been exactly the same throughout all eternity before he even spoke those first words of "let there be light." That God does not change. That God must be the same God. So that kind of comes us around and brings us around to the same opening question. What about today? Where perhaps for you, you think back over your life, and you look at the words of Scripture, and it looks like what God has done in the past is reserved for people in the past, but as far as God actually addressing the pain or the injuries that I carry, the pain and the injuries that I carry today, well, God is somewhat more removed from me than that. And maybe we fall into the same trap and the same idea that the Israelites do at one time. Don't you remember when you were a younger person and everybody went to church? The churches were just packed and everything looked successful. Well, memory has a way of putting rose-colored glasses on, I'll give you that. But it seems that God maybe is a little bit farther off. At least the way that we perceive it. The way that we perceive it being, God has done great things back there, but as for me today, he really hasn't. The great things of yesterday, sure, but as far as my life, I'm kind of stuck figuring out my life for myself. And sure, I might go through the motions of worship as Isaiah talks about here, and I might go through the motions of stand up and sit down and come to church every week for, well, most Sundays out of the month. But still, God seems so far removed from my own pain and my own worry and my own wonder. And when people talk about forgiveness, it just doesn't feel like that's for me. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe the injuries that we carry, whether in hand or in heart, kind of convince us of that. That the idea of Jesus dying on the cross as a historical fact, yeah, it happened. And that idea being Jesus forgave my sin, and the resurrection from the dead proved that my sin has been forgiven, and my baptism proves that I've been given a new life. But at the same time, what about my life? What about my own pain and my own feelings of guilt? And maybe somebody else has a better answer when they say, well, Pastor Hagin, you just have to learn to forgive yourself. The guilt that we carry follows along like that little dog and barking at our heels as if to say, Dear Christian, God is real, but he is so far removed from you that he can't really do anything to address your actual issues. God is so far removed from you that he did great things back then, but he's kind of fallen silent today. That he's done great things for them, and as for me, I'll go through the motions maybe, but my heart just isn't in it, and I don't get it. And I don't understand what God is actually going to do for me. And I don't understand how God could actually forgive me. Because as you think back over your life, and you think of that little piece of tape, perhaps, on your own heart, you think of the guilt that you carry for the words said or left unsaid, the opportunities missed, the relationships broken, the way that we've spoken to one another, and fallen short of living up to the God who has given us everything. Of a God who has said, let me put my name on you, the name of Jesus Christ. And then we go out like that prodigal son, almost. Not that we would do that overtly, but we use God's grace and turn it around as an excuse to say that I'm okay to do this, and it's my right to do this, and I'll find a way to forgive myself eventually, but right now I just need to address the pain and heal the pain, and so I'm okay. Just God is not. And we carry this guilt, and Isaiah addresses that today, because the real question is, how do you deal with that pain? The pain of life in a sinful world, the pain of bad, normal things that happen to us, or even the bad, evil things that happen to us, or that we do to others. How do you deal with it? And God speaks. He says, do not remember the former things. Do not keep thinking about ancient things. Watch, I am doing a new thing. Now it will spring up. Don't you know about it? Indeed, I will make a road in the wilderness, in the wasteland I will make rivers. The wild animals will honor me, because I am providing water in the wilderness, rivers in a parched land, to provide water for my chosen people to drink. This people that I formed for myself will declare my praise. Don't remember the former things. The guilt that we carry, and the feelings that we have, the guilty feelings that we carry. And we think to ourselves, but Pastor Hagin, I have to feel this way because I know what God's law says, and that was a wrong thing of me to do, and I hear that you say that Jesus washed away my sin and has taken away my guilt, but why do I still feel this way? Why do I still feel this guilt? And to that God says, you don't have to learn how to forgive yourself, because that would be setting up an idol in place of the God who has declared forgiveness. He had said that he has made a new people to declare his praises. That's you and me. Not that ancient Israel, or even modern day Israel, who had fallen so many times and had turned their backs on God, and were just going through the motions and thinking, well, our God did great things then, but he doesn't do anything for us today. You as a Christian can know that God has done great things for you today because of the great things he did for you previously. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," it's almost like he reached down his divine hand and walking out of the tomb that Easter Sunday morning. It's almost like he reached down his divine hand and started pulling the tape off our arms and our limbs and our heads and our hearts. When he declares his forgiveness, God is greater than our hearts. And even when our own hearts condemn us and speak against us and say that we have to carry this guilt, that we have to live a certain way, and we have to plague ourselves as though it's our penance, Jesus says, "Your sin has been forgiven." But. And he says again, "Your sin has been forgiven." And that's exactly why the Lord gave his supper. Because as you think back, well, here's Isaiah writing 700 years after the crossing through the Red Sea. And even at that point, the Israelites were saying, "Well, God did great things way back then, but he hasn't done anything for me today." And here we are, almost triple that distance from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2,000 years ago, as God's great thing that he had done in the past for you and for me. And we would be even more tempted to say, "But that's what God has done then. What has God done for me today?" Just look. What has God done for you today? What has God promised to do for you today? In just a few minutes, when we stand around this this circle, what is that, octagon, eight sides? When we stand around this altar of our God, we come with that pain of our heart and the guilt that we carry, and the penance that we think we have to do, and the idea, the concept that I need to learn how to forgive myself, and one day I finally will, and when pastor says, "I forgive your sins in the name of Jesus Christ," but that applies to the person sitting next to me and not to me, because you don't know what I've done, Pastor Hagen, and you probably wouldn't talk to me if you did. When our hearts condemn us like that, Jesus says, "Just wait, and take and eat, and take and drink." Because the God who did great things at the crossing of the Red Sea, who did great things on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, has made those great things present for you today. In the very body broken on that tree and blood poured out for your sin and mine. He says, "Take and eat for the forgiveness of sins." And when you take and eat and take and drink, it's not like, well, Jesus just gave his blood for the person standing next to me, but I just ate and drank, but it's not for me. Not at all. That concept doesn't fit. Because it's an individual distribution. Each one. To each one, take and eat. Take and drink. The great things that God has done for you then are made yours today, as this Jesus makes himself present today and says, "This is for you." You can think of it this way. One of my favorite stories that I am shamelessly borrowing from my supervising pastor, Vicar here. His name is Joel Schultz. And he says, well, think of it this way. Of a king who wants to give away his riches, right? And so this king hires a chariot or says, "Bring the horses." And he has this gigantic treasure chest sitting in front of him in this wagon or in this chariot. And his servants and he are standing behind it. And they drive through the streets of the city, throwing out handfuls of coins left and right as they clatter and clink on the ground, and the people scrabble to gather them up. And he has so much wealth to give away, he just throws more, right? And as they're going through the business district, the industrial district, through all the residential district, and through the broken down slums of the city, he starts to look and he sees, wait, there's somebody over there who has a broken leg. And somebody over here who is a little bit too weak to get up for himself or herself. And it seems like no matter how many coins we throw that way, they don't have the strength to get up and move. And so the king stops the chariot and sends his servant to each one individually, places a coin in their hand, closes their hand around it, He says, this is for you. This is the wealth of your king's riches for you. Exact same thing that happens today. As our God says, this is for you. Take and eat and take and drink. The great things that God has done for you in the resurrection of Jesus Christ are made yours. When he says, this is for you, take and eat and take and drink. And normally I'd end it there, but I added two bulletin inserts today. We're looking at this one. We talked about this a little bit last week in Bible class, and I think I may have mentioned it in the sermon last week. But if you look at this one, at the very bottom, it's from Christian Family Solutions, which is a much better name than their old name, WLCFS, Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Services, because that's like seven letters too long for an acronym. Okay. Christian Family Solutions, and this is one of the programs that our congregation makes available to you. And I would extend that invitation to people that you know, family or friends or acquaintances, relatives. And what it is the best deal going as far as talking to somebody about your personal pain. Aside from private confession and absolution, but we'll talk about that next week. Okay? And this program will provide you with a link and a video, secure video connection to a licensed Wisconsin Lutheran or ELS therapist. Somebody who has the credentials on the medical side and the therapy side, as well as has the confessional Lutheran background and the understanding of spiritual life on the spiritual side. And our congregation provides at no cost to that person, and it only costs us $70, which is an absolute steal of a deal for us, at no cost to the person using it, the opportunity to meet with this therapist for as many sessions as one might need. And eventually, maybe we'll have an office for Christian Family Solutions somewhat closer to us. I think the nearest one is up in Saginaw. But this is one way that from the comfort of your own home or from the comfort of your own computer desk, you can sit and talk with somebody about the sort of things that you might not talk about otherwise. And in a secure way, so that it's just as secure as if you're sitting face-to-face in an office where you've got the same bounds of confidentiality and the same words from our God, backed up by sound medical practice, to say this is where the life of Jesus has removed that guilt. This is where the life of Jesus meets yours. And that's just one thing that I want you to know about, and you can read about it yourself. Please take both the bulletin inserts home with you today. You can read about yourself because it's one of the most fantastic programs that we have available, one of the most fantastic ways to address the guilt that we carry. It's the words of Jesus. And so one might say, looking around the room, you know, got some red tape here and maybe on your toe, and there was a shaving accident last week and a broken limb. But we look around and we see the pain and the guilt that we carry here. But I urge you, direct your eyes not to the pain that you carry and the guilt of yesterday, or the worry about tomorrow even. Direct your eyes to the window behind me, where Jesus steps out, and he's out of the empty tomb. And he says, here, let me take that from you. Give me your tape. And now taste and drink. Taste and see that the Lord is good, that the God who has done great things for the Israelites, the God who has done great things for you and me, now makes himself present to remove your guilt again in his supper. Amen.